Welcome to Off the Charts, the Horse Racing Stakes Picks podcast. I am your host, Dave Ginsburg, with expert horse player Steve Duckhorn. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great, Dave. How are you?
Doing great. It's we're recording this a little late because you had you attended the Blackhawks game yesterday. And what a game that was. Late route, 10-1 against the defending champs. But this isn't hockey. We're just talking about horses. But I know that was an amazing game. It's unusual. That's why I wanted to mention it.
Yeah. We usually do our podcast on Thursday nights. But as you know, I was at the Blackhawks season opener last evening against the Penguins. So we had to do it a day later.
Yep.
So here we sit on Friday early evening and you know, trying to get this podcast out to the listeners.
Absolutely. So I got a few housekeeping items just to let everybody know. For those of you who are Google Android users, you have Android phones, we had the feed, and now we have the feed actually on our website, which is, of course, offthechartshorseracing.com. If you look at the top of this webpage, it does have a link for the Google Play Store, the Google Play Music Store, I should say, and that opens up a place where you can listen to any podcast, and we have our feed out there for Android users. For social media, I want to make sure everybody's following us. Follow us on Twitter at OffTheChartsHR, and we're going to be tweeting out all the information relates to this podcast every time on that Twitter feed, so please follow us. You can add us in iTunes. We have an iTunes feed that's out there. You just search for Off the Charts, the podcast, and you'll be able to find us there. As well as you can add us to any of your favorite podcatchers that you so use, including Downcast and others. One thing I wanted to talk about before we get going here, I wanted to congratulate Steve. He is, if you're not aware, he is a part owner, a very small part owner of Navajo, which is a two-year-old who ran at Belmont last Sunday in a mating race in a mile. What an absolutely amazing race. It was beautiful, and you hit, and she won, and that was just I want to congratulate you on that.
Dave, thanks a lot. That means a lot, and yes, I am a I'm part of an LLC that through Woodford Racing that owns a horse called Navajo, who did break her maiden last Sunday, as you said, Dave, at a mile at Belmont, and won very nicely. We were very happy, and actually one of my partners in this horse Navajo is a guy named Tim, and Tim actually reached out to me early in the week and asked me if we were going to be handicapping the Keeneland Stakes races this weekend, and because he was taking a group of people there on Saturday, and I told him that absolutely to celebrate our win that I would accommodate his request, and so we're gonna look at the five graded stakes races that are at Keeneland tomorrow Saturday.
Great. So let me just review what the agenda for tonight for today. Of course, Steve's going to review last week's results. His Horse Nuggets learning segment will be talking about speed figures, and then of course we'll dig into the Keeneland card. We got the 5th through the 9th going on in the stakes races this coming Saturday, which will be tomorrow as we record this. So let's get started. Tell us what happened last week.
Yeah, Dave. So let's just really quickly go through just some of the results from last week. We handicapped 8 graded stakes races between Belmont and Santa Anita last Saturday. We did have 3 top pick winners out of those 8 races, and our best price from a top winner paid $8.20. So we did have 3 top pick winners. We did have 3 second pick winners, and we had a 3rd pick winner. So out of the 8 graded stakes races I handicapped last Saturday, we had 7 of the winners in our top 3 selections. So again, our picks are right there, Dave. They keep trending along that trend. I now have handicapped 32 stakes races over the course of these podcasts since we started. We've hit 10 top pick winners out of the 32 stakes races. We're tracking at a 19% ROI, return on investment, just taking our top picks and betting them to win. Also, over those 32 stakes races, 20 of our top 2 pick winners have won. So you would also be profitable betting our top 2 picks in every race in the stakes races that I've handicapped. So again, I think we're I think we're doing a nice job for the listeners, Dave, and and continue to try to at least provide them with some betting opportunities on these stakes races on Saturdays.
Yeah, not too shabby of an ROI, and yeah, we'll just keep going here. So great job for last week. All right, and this is a segment I've been really enjoying. I'm glad you thought of this and we were doing this, this horse nuggets segment. And I've always been confused of understanding what the buyer figures and speed figures are. I'm glad you're going to talk about this today. Tell us a little bit about what the buyer figure is.
Yep. So what I did, Dave, and yes, we're going to – in this horse nuggets segment, we are going to talk about buyer speed figures. You know, probably most of the folks that are downloading this podcast are either know a whole lot about buyer speed figures or at least have heard what – the term buyer speed figure, but it is the numeric number that's in the racing form that is a reflection of the horse's final time for the distance over the track surface. But more importantly, it incorporates a daily variant to come up with a number. So that variant is just really simply did the track run fast or slow that particular day. It gives you an indicator of how fast the horse raced in that particular race. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about the buyer speed figures for me, Dave, is that they don't necessarily predict how the horse is going to run today. Really what they are is a handicapping tool that allows us to at least examine what a horse might do in the next start. And I made some notes here and just some things I want to talk about how I incorporate the buyer speed figures into my handicapping. I would say probably the first thing that I look for is I look for what handicappers like the term the bounce. And the bounce is after a horse has produced a very high buyer speed figure, whether it be a lifetime mark, so the horse has never had a buyer speed figure that fast, or has come off a very long layoff and produced a very high buyer speed figure. Often horses that produce extraordinary buyer speed figures, first time off a layoff, or they've produced one that is a lifetime high, have a tendency to not produce a similar figure the next time out. So they call that the bounce factor. Whenever I go through a racing form, I'm always marking with a B and a question mark. Wondering based on some of the buyer speed figures I'm looking at, whether the horse bounced or not. And you can also then use that to your advantage in that if indeed you did see the horse bounced off a very fast buyer speed figure, it's likely then that the next race, the horse might come back and produce a very competitive or high buyer speed figure. So you can use that bounce angle as one of your angles when you're handicapping. The other thing that you want to make sure that you take into consideration is that the buyer speed figures are not necessarily transferable across surfaces. So just because a horse produces a 101 buyer speed figure on the turf doesn't mean that they're able to produce that same type of speed figure on the dirt or in the mud. So also you find that some horses are able to produce a much higher buyer speed figure sprinting versus routing. Sometimes they're able to produce a much higher buyer speed figure depending on the track that they're racing at, because, you know, certainly horses like certain tracks and certain surfaces and can produce different numbers based on that. So these are all things that I look at when I'm doing my handicapping. The other thing that I like to do with the buyer speed figures is I like to look for consistency. So I like to see horses that can produce multiple figures in the same range to see if that range is competitive with other horses in the race. Often you'll find that you'll see horses that produce, you know, a buyer speed figure that's, you know, 15, 20 points higher than anything they've ever done in their lifetime. I call those the one-shot wonders. There's a number of handicappers that call those freak performances. Often those horses in their next start will get overbet. And so I like to look for horses then to try to beat those horses that have, you know, produced a freak effort or a one-hit wonder kind of effort. I use my buyer speed figures as a way to judge and evaluate how horses can run off a layoff. So when I look in the past performances and see a layoff, I'd like to look at see what kind of buyer speed figure they produced off a layoff, especially if they're off a layoff in the particular race I'm looking at. Another thing that affects buyer speed figures, Dave, is the pace of the race. So, you know, you can get a mid or average type buyer speed figure, especially if in a race where the pace might have been slow and your horse really raced really fast at the end of the race, which is why in other podcasts you've heard me talk about quarter mile increments and eighth of a mile increments as another way to evaluate how fast the horse can race. So I just want the listeners to be conscious of the fact that pace does affect your buyer speed figure. If you are a user of the DRF Formulator product, which is the nugget that I talked about last week's podcast, yep. You can get the buyer speed figures in a graphical format for every horse in the race, and you can start to look for patterns. You know, some horses have that pattern where they race a good race and then a bad race and then a good race and then a bad race. Some horses you can see in their pattern look like they're probably coming into a peak performance. I do use those buyer graphs often, especially for horses that have a lot of races in their past performances, and then you can start to get some really interesting patterns. Another thing I like to do with the buyer speed figures is look to see if a horse is on the improve or whether the horse is starting to regress in productivity. So, you know, I like a steady progression in the buyer speed figures. That tells me a horse is getting better and getting ready for a peak performance. And then I also like to look and see where a horse has maybe reached their peak performance after two or three outings and is likely to regress. You know, these are unlike what a lot of folks think, these horses are not machines, Dave. So they right. they don't reproduce the same numbers over and over and over again. So in order to be an effective handicapper, you really have to figure out what kind of performance you think the horse that you're looking at is going to produce today. And one of the ways to do that is to look at what they've done in the past. And a good indicator of that is to use the buyer speed figures to your advantage in making that evaluation. So that was my segment on the buyer speed figures, Dave. I hope that I added a few things, maybe even some things that you hadn't seen or heard of or thought of before.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I might throw a few nuggets in as you do your picks here, as I see a few and as I go here. So to kind of get the listeners to really take a look closer at this. So great segment. I really appreciate that. So let's get going and go into the stakes handicapping. We're going to start with the fifth race at Keeneland for Saturday, the 7th. That's the 21st running of the Grade 2 Woodford. $200,000. That's a pretty good purse.
Yeah. So this race is, as you said, Dave, a Grade 2. It is the Woodford. It's 5.5 furlongs on the turf. So it's a really short turf sprint. And my selection in this race, Dave, is the 5-horse Latent Revenge. Latent Revenge is 12-1 in the morning line. So come up with a price play right off the bat. Right away, one of the first things I saw that I liked about this horse was this horse has speed, and at 5.5 furlongs on the turf, it is really important for you to be the kind of horse that can either be on the front end or at least be close to the pace. A lot of times what happens is if you're a closer or a horse that doesn't break well, you will really get shuffled out of these 5.5 furlong races with way too much to make up at the end of the race. This horse is racing second off a layoff. Greg Foley is 2 out of 7 in turf stakes races at Keeneland, which is good. 7 starts, 2 wins. You know, Greg doesn't have a lot of horses that in play, so this is probably one of the horses that he's counting on to produce during the course of a racing season. If you look back on October 16th of last year, Dave, you can see that Latent Revenge does have a race here in the past performances at Keeneland where he did show really good speed and just faded at the end, lost by 3/4 of length after having the lead. And I thought at 12-1, I like horses that can get out on the front end in these really short 5.5 furlong sprints on the turf. So I'm making the 5-horse Latent Revenge our top selection in the 5th race at Keeneland. Okay. My second selection in the 5th race at Keeneland is the 3. The 3 horses Commend. Commend is 3-1 in the morning line. We get Bill Mott as the trainer. Jose Lascano is the jockey. If you have listened to our other podcast, Dave, you know that that race there on September 9th at Kentucky Downs, this was the kind of horse that made a move, got the lead, and then just gave it up at the end. You know that I think that those horses have a tendency to go on the next time out. We're getting, you know, top trainer, top jockey. I mentioned in our jockey segment that that we did in Horse Nuggets that I like Jose Lascano on the turf, which I do. And in fact, I've got Jose selected in one of the other races on the card in these graded stakes at Keeneland later on. And so I thought we should make sure that we put Mott and Lascano in as our second selection in the 5th race. So the 3 Commend is our second selection. And our third selection is the 6, Mongolian Saturday. Mongolian Saturday is 3-1 in the morning line. Javier Castellano is the jockey. Enabish Ganbat is our trainer. Mongolian Saturday, as you can see, has raced 3 times on the Keeneland turf, has won twice, has produced a 107 buyer speed figure. You know, this is an old class horse, Dave, 7 years old. And has won a lot of races, 43 lifetime starts, 8 wins, has made, you know, $1.2 million in his career, has a number of sub 12 second last eighths of a mile. So if there is a horse that I think can pick him up and lay him down here and maybe pick up the pieces should the speed fall apart, it would be Mongolian Saturday. So I'm making the 6 horse Mongolian Saturday our third selection in the 5th race at Keeneland. So our selections in the 5th race are the 5, the 3, and the 6.
Now, I will note that this is the first leg of the pick 3 and the first leg of the pick 5, which is a guaranteed $250,000 payoff, which is pretty interesting. So this could start you very well, and you're getting the
case. Yes, it could. And thank you for mentioning that, Dave. That's absolutely right. We like to keep making sure that we inform the listeners to the betting options that are available as we put out these selections. So that's a great note. Thanks for mentioning that.
No problem. So we'll move on to the 6th race. This is a 6 furlong race, and that's the 37th running of the Thoroughbred Club of America, grade 2, $250,000. I'll let you kick that off.
Yep. So, yes, Dave, this is a grade 2. It's 6 furlongs, 3-year-olds and up, and I really like my selection here. My selection in this 6th race at Keeneland is the 1 horse, Bendable. Bendable is trained by Richard Mandela. Ridden by Javier Castellano. If you know anything about Mandela, Mandela is a West Coast trainer. So he didn't bring this horse to Keeneland for the exercise. As you can see in this horse's past performances, on October 8th of last year, this horse does have a race over the course, which I like, even though this is, all the other races this horse has raced in have been out on the West Coast, either Santa Anita, Del Mar, or Los Alamitos. Some interesting things about Mandela as a trainer. When he ships horses in graded stakes, he's a 19% trainer. When he ships graded stakes horses and puts them on the dirt, he's a 30% trainer, which puts him in, you know, kind of what I would consider to be the elite company. This horse is, I don't know if I mentioned this horse, Bendable, the 1 horse. This horse is 6-1 in the morning line, so we're getting a nice price. Mandela is really good off these kinds of layoffs, from 31 to 60 days, 20%. And this horse just has all the ingredients that I like, when making a horse a top selection. So in the 6th race at Keeneland, the 1 horse, Bendable, is my top selection.
All right.
My second selection in the 6th race is the 4, Finley's Lucky Charm. Finley's Lucky Charm is 3-5 in the morning line. And it's not hard to see why. Finley's Lucky Charm has raced 11 times in her life and has won 8 of them and have finished second 2 times. So first or second 10 of 11 lifetime starts.
Not too shabby.
I made some notes here. If you look at it appears as if Finley's Lucky Charm races really well off the layoff. So on December 26th, that race at Santa Anita, raced in that La Brea Grade 1, had a layoff, came back at Churchill and won. And then if you look farther down the past performances, that February 20th race on Fairgrounds, raced in another Grade 2, had a layoff, came back at Churchill Downs and won. But I don't see any races at Keeneland, so I don't know how this horse is going to like the track. Clearly, this horse likes Churchill Downs. Take a look at all those wins, Dave, at Churchill Downs. BJ Hernandez is the jockey. William Calhoun is the trainer. They're 20% team when they team up together. And you know how much I like BJ Hernandez. Yep. So we're going to try to beat the 3-5 shot with the Mandela Shipper, Dave. But we are going to make the 4 Finley's Lucky Charm our second selection in the 6th race. The 3rd and final selection in the 6th race is the 3, I'm a Looker. I'm a Looker is 10-1 in the morning line. So giving the listeners some price plays here, Brad Cox is the trainer. Corey Lannery is the jockey. This horse is getting blinkers on for the first time, which is, you know, can be a significant equipment change. A few notes. I do like Brad Cox. Cox is a 26% trainer overall. Does very, very well in that Kentucky circuit. I did note that this horse was trained by Pat Dupuy earlier in the year. So this horse has been in Cox's barn for 2 starts now. Was a beaten favorite the last time out to Ivy Bell. If you remember Ivy Bell, that was one of our top selections in one of the races that we handicapped early in these podcasts. Cox raced this horse twice after getting the acquisition from Pat and then decided to go on a layoff. And that's what's happened here. Horse looks like she's training really well, and we get a good jockey trainer combination. We get blinkers on. This horse has raced against Finley's Lucky Charm before and Bendable. Got beat pretty bad by Finley's Lucky Charm the last time, but looked like got bothered. And so I've decided to make this 3 horse at 10-1, Dave, our 3rd selection in the 6th race. So our selections in the 6th race, Dave, are the 1, the 4, and the 3.
Okay, and I will note that that's the first leg of the pick 4, which is a $350,000 guaranteed.
Yep, so there's some money to be made, Dave. There is some
serious money. That's why I'm not mentioning all these gimmicks, because you fans out there need to know about this, because these are some great opportunities. So
Yep, there's definitely some money to be made. So we'll move on to the seventh. Yep,
that's the 20th running of the First Lady. That's a Grade 1 race at $400,000.
$400,000, Dave, on the turf at a mile, and I really had to spend a lot of time on this race because I really was torn between 2 horses. I do have to make a horse my top pick, so I am going to make the 7 Hawksmoor our top selection in the race. Hawksmoor is 4-1 in the morning line. Arnaud Delacour is the trainer. Julien Le Perreux, who I noted already, has won a couple races at Keeneland today on opening day. Le Perreux's the jockey. When Le Perreux and Delacour team up together, they're 50%. So Le Perreux's ridden for this guy 10 times, has won 5. 80% in the money. Also, I will note that this horse is a 4-year-old filly, so you know how much I like those horses going from their 3-year-old year to their 4-year-old year. I haven't done a horse nugget segment yet on Tomlinson figures, but if you look over up in the upper right-hand column and you see turf and you see 400, that's the Tomlinson figure on this horse for turf racing. So, you know, clearly this horse is meant to be on the turf. Le Perreux has been on this horse. She's been on this horse the last 3 times, has won 2 times. This horse is off a little bit of a layoff coming out of the Beverly D, which was a great one. Has raced here at Keeneland. In fact, Hawksmoor's first race coming over from Europe was at Keeneland last year in the QE2 and raced a respectable third in that race. And I am making Hawksmoor the 7 horse, our top selection in the 7th race. The horse that I really had gone back and forth with Hawksmoor on and making top selection, this might be a good exact opportunity for the listeners, Dave, was the 6 horse, Dickinson. Dickinson's 5-2 in the morning line. Kieran McLaughlin's a trainer. Paco Lopez is the jockey. McLaughlin is a 32% trainer at Keeneland, so many percentage points above Kieran McLaughlin's overall training record this year. So definitely brings horses to Keeneland ready to win. As you can see, this horse is 1-for-1 over the Keeneland turf course, produced a 100 buyer speed figure. Paco Lopez is 3-for-4. With McLaughlin at Keeneland, as you can see those jockey trainer stats in 2016-17, down at the bottom, 75%. So this horse, you know, the interesting thing about this horse for me, Dave, is this horse raced on the front end the last time. I'm not sure that's this horse's best running style. If you look at the races that Paco has won with this horse earlier in the year, you can see that he kind of sat off the pace with Dickinson and then used the horse for one close. This horse has a nice move. You know, you can see, you can note there's a couple of, you know, sub 12 second eighths of a mile in this horse's resume. Lots of things to like about this horse. Very, very close to making this horse my top selection, Dave. But I've decided to make Dickinson the 6 horse, my second selection in the 7th race at Keeneland.
And she does have a win at Keeneland, which is
Yeah, 1-for-1 and produced a 100 buyer speed figure. So definitely likes the track. Honestly, Dave, when I really had – when I had to make this separation, it was the difference in jockeys for me. I am a Paco Lopez fan, but Le Perú just owns that track at Keeneland. Yeah. And I thought that he would be – he would make the right move at the right time. But certainly it would not surprise me one iota if Dickinson won the race. Yep. My third and final selection in the 7th race, Dave, is the 3 horse Donna Bruja. The horse is trained by Ignacio Correas. Declan Cannon's the jockey. The horse is 5-2 in the morning line. You know, the first thing that you should take a look at is this horse is raced 13 lifetime starts, 1-10 of them finished 2nd the other 3 times. So either 1st or 2nd, in 13 lifetime starts. You know, many of those races, as you can see in the past performances, Dave, were in Argentina. This horse has had 3 starts in North America, has won 2 of them, finished 2nd the other time in the Beverly D at Arlington Park, won by a horse called DeCita, who actually was a selection of ours that particular day. I didn't want to leave this horse off of our top 3 picks, Dave. This horse is clearly a horse that can win races. Has a closing type running style. Declan Cannon obviously fits this horse really well. And so I've decided to make the 3 horse Donna Bruja as our third and final selection in the 7th race. So our selections in the 7th race at Keeneland, Dave, are the 7, the 6, and the 3.
All right. We'll go to the 8th race. This is a big race here. This is a grade 1, 104th running of the Claiborne Breeders Futurity, and it's $500,000, $500,000 for 2 year olds.
It is. So it's, yep. So it's for 2 year olds. So for young horses, mile and a 16th. It is a grade 1, Dave. And my top selection in this race is the 4 horse 10 City. 10 City is 10-1 in the morning line. So I'm, as I mentioned on Twitter early in the week, I did have a few double digit morning line odds horses. There's top selections, and this is one of them. Kenny McPeak is the trainer. Corey Lannery's the jockey. McPeak in graded stakes at Keeneland's an 18% trainer. So again, another trainer that does well in these kinds of situations. Lannery is a 25% jockey riding for McPeak. Take a look at April 19th of this year, Dave, broke his maiden at Keeneland. Excuse me. So clearly the horse likes the track at Keeneland, won easily by 7 lengths, won then the Bashford Manor, which was a grade 3 stakes race. Bullet workout on September 30th. So just a few days ago, raced a bullet workout at Keeneland. But even better than that, Dave, we get a horse that's been at a mile and a 16th distance. And if you know anything about these distance races for these young horses, many of them haven't been this far, and many of them haven't been around 2 turns before. So for me, that was a key component in making 10 City our top selection. So the 4-horse 10 City as our top selection in the 8th race at Keeneland.
Okay.
Our second selection in the 8th race at Keeneland is the 2-horse Esmash. Esmash is trained by Brad Cox. Javier Castellanos, the jockey. This horse is 6-1 in the morning line. This horse has speed, and Javier as the jockey. So I know that Javier will get this horse on the front end. The thing that I'm concerned about as it relates to our top selection is I'm concerned that Javier might get this thing out on the front end and never look back. Javier has a knack for putting horses out on the front end. Excuse me, Dave. I've got a tickle in my throat here. Javier has a good knack for getting horses on the front end and nursing their speed along. This Javier Castellano has been on this horse. So in this horse's first lifetime start at Saratoga, Javier was the jockey. Cox is a 32% trainer when his horses have won their last time out. He's 39% using Javier Castellano. So this is a dangerous horse, Dave. And I've decided to make 2 Esmash our second selection in the 8th race at Keeneland.
Okay.
Our third and final selection in this 8th race at Keeneland is Bourbon Resolution, the 8 horse. The 8 horse is 8-1 in the morning line. We get Ian Wilkes as the trainer, Julian Le Perreux is the jockey. This is first time Julian Le Perreux. This horse last race at Saratoga, broke his maiden at Saratoga, won pretty easily. This is another horse that shows speed, has a nice workout there on September 30th at Churchill Downs. I would guess that Le Perreux is not going to show speed with this horse, since, you know, Julian's style is to really kind of lay off the pace and uses horses to make one run. And so it won't surprise me at all if Julian Le Perreux sits, you know, somewhere mid pack or even farther back and tries to make one run with this horse. This horse does look from a Tomlinson standpoint that he'll probably like the distance, and we get the top jockey at Keeneland as the guy that's going to be on this horse's back. So the 8 horse Bourbon Resolution is our third and final pick in the 8th race, Dave. So to summarize, our picks in the 8th race at Keeneland are the 4, the 2, and the 8.
Okay, and your final horse, final race of the card for this week is the 1 mile, the Shadwell Turf. That's a grade 1, $1 million purse.
So, yeah, Dave, so this is a $1 million purse. It is the final race on the card. I did come up with another price play for the listeners. So my top selection in this 9th race is the 6, Ballig Rocks. Ballig Rocks is trained by Bill Mott. Jose Lascano's the jockey.
Your favorite combo.
Yeah, I've already mentioned that combo once today. This horse is 10-1 in the morning line. Got a big circle around the fact that this is a 4-year-old colt, Dave. So you know how I feel about these horses in their 4-year-old year and their ability to show improvement. I have 3 races underlined where Lascano's been the jockey in 3 wins. So clearly this horse responds well to Jose Lascano. This horse does have a 103 buyer speed figure as a top figure on turf. This horse has raced well early in the year. Last race at Saratoga on August 12th. Mott laid this horse off for a little bit, and now is coming back for this Grade One race. Lots of things I like here. Is raced against a number of the horses that are in this race: the Visadero, American Patriot, Heart to Heart, and has been competitive with those horses. But like I said, Dave, we are getting a four-year-old horse who has every reason to continue to improve. He has three turf workouts there at Saratoga in the month of September. I just think this horse might be coming into a big race. So my top selection in this ninth race is the six-horse Balik Rocks.
And there's a lot of picks here. I got 14 horses in this race, so a lot to choose from.
There is a lot to choose from. This was another hard race to handicap, but I think I found the right horse for us, Dave, and yep, especially at the right price. My second selection in this ninth race, Dave, is the 10 horse. The 10 horse is Heart to Heart. Brian Lynch is the trainer. Florent Giroux is the jockey. This horse is 7-2 in the morning line. Some things to note here. I do have a circle around the fact this horse has won in four starts on the turf course at Keelan, has run second two times. So this horse does like the track, has a 105 buyer speed figure produced here at Keelan. But even more importantly, Dave, and if you go through this particular race, you'll see this horse might be the speed of the speed. This horse does have a lot of speed. If you look through these past performances, all you see is this horse breaking on top. Does have a good front end jockey in Florent Giroux. And in fact, a number of those races on the front end were raced with Julien Le Perroux, who I don't think is a particularly good front end jockey. So we actually might be getting a little bit more of a positive jockey change here in terms of this horse's racing style. Look at that, 23 lifetime starts, 12 wins on the turf, Dave. So, this is a nice horse and the kind of horse that if left alone on the front end could wire this field. So my second selection in the ninth race at Keelan is the 10 horse Heart to Heart. Okay. My third and final selection is the 8 horse Miss Temple City. Miss Temple City, Graham Motion is the trainer. Edgar Prado is the jockey. This horse is 3-1 in the morning line. This horse is likely to go off as the post time favorite. 4 lifetime starts at Keeneland, 2 wins, 2 seconds, 108 buyer speed figure. Did win at Kentucky Downs the last time, but that was not an easy win. Really had to dig in to win that race in the ladies' turf at Kentucky Downs the last time out. Not sure this horse is at the same peak level she was at when she won there on April 15th at the bottom of the past performances at Keelan and did produce that 108 buyer speed figure. Note that the second horse is our second selection, Heart to Heart, who she did race against that particular day. But because of this horse's record, 19 starts in a turf, 7 wins, has raced well in Breeders' Cup races, and certainly likes the turf course at Keelan. It would be a mistake, I think, for us not to put this horse at least as our third selection. So our three selections in the ninth race, Dave, at Keelan are the 6, the 10, and the 8.
Okay, and that was some great choices. We hope we have some good luck this weekend. And did you have any final comments before we wrap this up?
No, Dave, I do want to apologize. I did have a tickle in my throat. I've been fighting some bad allergies over these last couple of weeks. I'm sure the listeners have heard me, sniffle a few times along the way, but I hope that the information was clear. And at the end of the day, Dave, it's really all about picking winners and trying to help people make some money at the racetrack. And really, that's why I do this.
Absolutely. All right, let's wrap this up. I welcome you to come out and visit our website, offthecharthorseracing.com. When you visit that site, at the very top, all of our links for subscribing to this podcast is at the top, including your favorite podcatcher, iTunes, the Google Play Music Store, as well as Twitter. Please follow us on Twitter. Twitter is at offthechartshr. and we'll have any of the podcast updates, race day changes, and other picks. We'll be tweeting away with the today and tomorrow, and you definitely want to be following us throughout the week. So we'll have a lot of great information there as well. If you want to email us, if you have any questions for Steve or I, you can email us at questions@offthechartshorseracing.com. With that, I thank you for joining us, and good luck and good racing.